Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. A NASA story. Maybe it has a happy ending. Bob, a very good evening to you. Jared Isaacman is a very brave and accomplished man. A jet pilot. He's flown two private missions in a Dragonfly. He's spacewalked. He's very well-to-do. He's very generous. He's young. And brilliantly been appointed the administrator of NASA, if Congress approves. How's he doing? Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, John. Yes, there was the hearing before the Senate earlier this week, grilling Jared Isaacman by senators on what he wants to do as NASA administrator. And I reported on that early in the week, in which I said basically nothing of note occurred. He was very coy in his answers. He kept his options open. They were insisting, and this is the key to this story, John, they were insisting and pressing him over and over again that he should commit to continuing the Space Launch System, the SLS rocket, Orion capsule, and the Lunar Gateway projects, and to use those to get to the moon as fast as possible and beat the Chinese there. The Chinese say they're going to get there by 2030 with humans. And so Congress, the senators were all demanding that Jared Isaacman commit to that program and those projects unequivocally to get to the moon. And he was very coy in his answers. He said, yes, right now it does appear that we those would be the fastest way to do it. But he repeatedly also mentioned that those projects are incredibly over budget, behind schedule, and it's taking them 20-plus years to do anything. So he's going to keep his options open. And that's how the conversation was. But I thought about this hearing after a day or so, and then I wrote an essay on Behind the Black, noting that these senators were literally telling Isaacman, we want you to take a chance to throw some astronaut lives away so we can bring for the camera, so we can get some photo ops. Because everybody knows that there are significant engineering issues with SLS and Orion. To send people on that rocket, in that capsule, around the moon is a very questionable thing to do. And this situation is very similar to what happened to the kid that killed the Apollo 1 astronauts in 1967. It's very similar to what killed the Challenger astronauts on the space shuttle in 86, and it's very similar to what killed the astronauts on Columbia in 2003. In all those cases, there were serious engineering issues that should have been addressed before you put people in those spacecraft. But because the politics of the situation and the schedule demand that things proceed, NASA ignored the engineering problems and people died. Well, the same situation occurs now with SLS and Orion. SLS has only been launched once. It had some issues, nothing significant, but its reliability is very questionable. It's only flown once. And it was unmanned. So to put people on it again, on the second flight, raises uncertainties and concerns. I should point out that before NASA in the 1960s put any astronauts on a Saturn V rocket, they tested it 16 times in different configurations. They've done one test of SLS. As for the Orion capsule, things are much, much worse. The Orion capsule was also only flown once around the moon. That flight had issues. The most significant issue of all was its heat shield. When it came back to Earth, even though it did protect the interior of the capsule, large chunks burned off of the heat shield, much worse than expected. And NASA has not fixed that problem on the next capsule that it wants to put humans in. It said it will change the return flight profile in a hope to mitigate the problem. In other words, they're not fixing the problem. And they're going to put humans on this capsule and fly it around the moon and bring them back to Earth at high speed using a heat shield that is questionable. On top of that, they're going to use on this first manned Orion flight a environmental system. That's what keeps the astronauts alive. That's never flown in space before. In other words, those astronauts are going to be guinea pigs for that environmental system. In any common sense situation, if a private company wanted to put astronauts or customers on a capsule and a rocket under these circumstances, I think these same senators would demand the arrest of those people, that private company. But instead, Congress wants to throw astronauts' lives away so they can have a photo op. I think a major reshaping of the entire Artemis program is necessary. I'm not so sure getting to the moon ahead of the Chinese is a smart target date. I think we could do a lot better things to make America's aerospace industry much more effective. And I really am disturbed that after all those other earlier incidents, we're still playing the same game again, allowing politics to determine our flight schedule rather than engineering.
Brownsville, Texas, a big town near Boca Chica, the launch site for SpaceX's experiments, tests. And there's a statue there, you tell me, of Elon Musk. What happened?
Yes, a French entrepreneur who's a big Elon Musk fan, he paid for the installation and the creation of a giant bust of Elon Musk's 9 feet high. And he did this earlier this year. It appears that in the past week, anti-Musk terrorists, as far as I'm concerned, came and chopped at the statue, damaged it significantly. There's pictures at the link that I link to that show this. They're very clearly they came at it with knives and hatchets and tried to damage it, and they did. This is an example of the stupidity of these anti-Musk terrorists who have been damaging Tesla's and now Musk's statue. I mean, Musk, it's incredibly stupid. This is a guy that has produced more jobs and industry to the United States than any person in decades. He's brought so much wealth to the country, and in Brownsville, he took an area that was terribly depressed for decades, and he's bringing a space industry there that's bringing that region billions and tens of thousands of jobs. So to hate him because he's a success and bringing success to America is, as the saying goes, is like cutting off your nose to spite your face. I don't like my nose. I'm going to cut it off. Well, that's what these people are doing. I hope the fullest extent of the law is going after them, John. Put them in prison for damaging like this.
Bob, Eagle manned lunar rover. Whose idea is this?
This is a part of NASA's contract, bidding contracts to bring private enterprise to space. They have three different companies bidding for the major contract to build the lunar landers that that NASA is going to use on its Artemis program when it gets astronauts to the moon. These are not landers. I'm sorry, these are rovers, and these are not little rovers. These are rovers that human like cars, like the ones they used in the Apollo program. That allow astronauts to drive around on the surface of the moon. And so Luna Outpost is one of those three companies. It's a startup. It recently, at a conference, showed off its Eagle manned rover. It's a very sleek thing. The pictures are very cool. It looks like a sports car. Of course, it's open. So they'd sit in it in their spacesuits. But they designed this to be a rover on the moon and also designed that they could be operated autonomously. So the astronauts, if they wanted to send the rover to take pictures or do research into a place they don't want to themselves go, they could do that. Now, they haven't won the contract, like Lunar Outpost, but they are working to do that. And this was their way of convincing NASA to consider them for the job.
Let's double back to the Artemis program that Congress is so intrigued with. You get this rover to the moon in the first and only launch to the moon? What are they thinking here, Bob?
No, this is a contract to build manned rovers for lunar missions. And the idea is it's privately owned, just like the landers that Firefly built,
yeah.
And just like SpaceX's rockets and Dragon capsule. And so they sell this to NASA when it does its Artemis program. But that doesn't mean they're the only customer. Lunar Outpost hopes to be able to sell this to others as well as we start to have private missions. For example, if SpaceX gets its Starship going, SpaceX is going to want to go to the moon on private missions as well as Mars. Well, why not hire buy a Lunar Outpost Eagle to put on the vehicle? So there's money here to be made that has nothing to do with NASA. But NASA, you know, needs a rover, and so they're willing to contract to help this company build it.
I think that's where I got confused. Yes, when you go to SpaceX, yes, they can do the moon. They want to do Mars. But the Artemis program, Bob, I want to emphasize something here that might no longer be obvious. When you're testing the booster, the SLS, or when you're testing the spacecraft, they throw that stuff away. You have a brand new machine the next time you launch, not one that's been a veteran like SpaceX. So we're talking about a rover that NASA says that it can carry to the moon with an untested system.
You're getting back to SLS and Orion. This is a dinosaur rocket that costs $4 billion per launch. Can't launch more than once every year to 2 years, which makes it impossible to establish any kind of lunar base with it. But my concern is just simply right now that in terms of engineering, it is not ready for prime time. Right. And to demand putting people on it is unconscionable.
I take your criticism. I do, but I'm emphasizing that they throw it away. That's what you didn't do the first time, that we have to remind, because we got so used to SpaceX reusability.
Yes.
We forget that. The risks, don't they get worse, Bob, when you use a brand new machine that you haven't road tested?
Yes, but in a different way. And SpaceX has proven this. If you have to be reusable, you've got to make the spacecraft much, much more reliable and robust. Reusability actually forces you to make the thing better. When it's an expendable vehicle, they just have to make it work once. And so the margins of quality go down. You don't really have to make it as good as you need to, which means that there's greater risk of it failing. And this has been our experience. Expendable rockets, they have niggling problems during countdowns. They have more problems after launch. You make it reusable, it becomes extremely reliable.
We go to Firefly, another company that's dazzling, Bob. It's a joy to discover there's not just SpaceX and Blue Origin. There's Firefly. What have they done?
All right, Firefly has gotten a contract with the Space Force to test orbital maneuvers in orbit for surveillance purposes using Firefly's Elytra space tug. The Elytra space tug, it's a tug. Basically, it's an upper stage that they've been selling to the commercial satellite industry. You want to get launched as a secondary payload, our tug can get your satellite to a different orbit. And so that's what they've been selling. You know, Firefly's been very smart. It's diversified. It has a rocket, but it's not just doing rockets. It does a lunar lander, Blue Ghost. It's now doing an orbital tug. And so it got a contract with the Space Force to do orbital maneuvers using it'll carry with it infrared invisible cameras. So very clearly what the Space Force wants to test with this tug is whether or not the tug can be maneuvered close to other satellites of maybe foreign powers and take reconnaissance imagery. China's been doing this routinely. The U.S. has done it, but now they're using private enterprise to make it possible to do it, and actually it'll give the Space Force a lot greater capabilities because Firefly is not the only one making space tugs, orbital tugs, and so you start to get a lot of orbital tugs capable of doing this kind of stuff. You really have good surveillance capabilities.
So we have four now, SpaceX, Blue Origin, ULA, and Firefly.
Oh, we got Rocket Lab. Don't forget Rocket Lab. Rocket Lab is the same as Firefly. It is diversified. It's not just doing its rocket. It also does interplanetary missions and satellite technology. It's diversifying very aggressively, so it has a wide range of profit centers. And there's others, too, but those are the big names right now, John. But I would consider ULA and Blue Origin to be low on the scale because they actually haven't launched very much.
You've taught me to be generous towards Blue Origin, Bob. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.